nature of this world is it's all about boundaries and limitations. That's what this world is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed a certain boundlessness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to convey the infinite through the finite. That is the chshivas of this. That's the tachlis of this world. So again, we're not talking about the tachlis in the sense what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed for. But given that everything that is mizgala and everything that's revealed is kvoit shemayim by definition, the kvoit shemayim of this world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take the infinite and present it through the finite. And that's the ultimate chiddush. That's the ultimate godless, so to speak, that it can be done that way. If you want, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech. He said, "Hein shemayim u'shmei shemayim lo yichal kelucha," nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Afa bayis of sisi, but these little walls can contain it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Saint HaKadosh Baruch Hu," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Loik mashat ha'choshev, take an amal amal, and that's all you need." So what you have over here is the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giluyim in this world are going to come dafka from a limitation, dafka from a tzimtzum, from a limitation of gevulis, and from within the limitation of those gevulis, there will be an infinite gilui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a certain sense, the narrower that those gevulis are, the greater you have the greater kvoit shemayim. Since the kvoit shemayim is defined as the infinite coming through the finite, then there is a greater kvoit shemayim in the smaller narrow. And that's why in the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, take an amal amo. Be'etzim, in a certain sense, Kodesh Kadoshim had that amal amo, and that's that was its makom, and everything was the scala from it. The permanent nes of the Urn is not from the minyan. The Urn didn't take up any space. It's a projection of that nekuda, that the teichin is greater than what it holds. So I want to go back to these mishnayos. The first mishnah says there's an oifin in Torah, which is you have the Torah that we have written, and then you have added things to it. So, Hetin Adorim Perichim Ba'avir. Hetin Adorim are a chelik of Torah that, it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, so to speak, in the sense that we have no mucker for it. That's not a malgusa. It's a chelik of Torah Shabbat Peh. It's adjunct to the Torah, and that's where it is. And then you go down to things that have Haram Atlim Esiris, to things that have Mikrois, and this is called Gufei Torah. That's in the chelik of Torah that's nigla, in the halachas, we have a Torah Shav Eksav, a Torah Shav Alper, but the Torah Shav Alper can be totally disjunct from the Torah Shav Eksav. It can hang on by a thread, and it can just float. Something that's floating is not part of it, and so on. Then there's a chelik in Torah that comes from within narrow confines. It comes from two people. It comes from one person. And then it says, in other words, the person needs to be maven midaitai. The maven is maven dover mitoich dover. Maven dover mitoich dover is the prototype of how one draws the infinite from the finite. In other words, there is a goal. This is what it says. And what it says has a toich to it, that it has a content to it, it has a what's in it, and Maven Dova Mitoich Dova tells me that I draw out from within a lot more than is there. Like your circus car, where you have, you know, the little car, and they just keep coming out of it, because, you know, so over there it's on a dominant trick. But the Maven Dova Mitoich Dova means that from within comes out a lot more. So we now have a certain identity of that chelik of Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in its entirety to be megala kvoid shamayim from within the world. But the yichud of the megala kvoid shamayim from within the world is it's megala and ein soif from a world that is soif. And then there's a chelik of Torah and that has in itself the same tchunis, and that is called Maven Dova Mitoich Dova. And that's what he says. Ein Dorshin Barayas B'Shloisha, V'loi Ma'isebresh B'Shnayim. So these are called drushas. The chelik of Torah called drusha means I add to the Torah. And therefore, if you create situations, they become like Harim Akluyim B'Sairis. In other words, I'm adding halachas to it, and these halachas hang on by an asmachta. Those in Yonim are we narrowed it down, and we said and we came up with drushes, which are the Mishnah before. Here in this Mishnah, when we come down to Loi Merkava Yochid, means you're not Deirish Merkava B'Yochid. The Maaseh Merkava has the narrowest slot. It has to come from within the Roshei Prakim. And when a person is darshens it, when a person is maven davdavdava, he understands that to be the content. It's not as if it's analogous. When I'm building chachma, there's a binyan of chachma that works by analogy. So A is like B is like C is like D, and I build out. So that's not really where I'm taking from within, but I'm adding from outside. And it's a properly added by analogy, by hekesh, by by kal v'chomer and so on. That's called drusha, and those are drushas of Torah. They add to Torah; they're emes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to us. But what we end up is either with har yesh amashe ismoichu, or which is gufa Torah, or har matlim misayris, or perchem avir through the method of lachamach misina in general Torah Shabbat. But there's another chelik of Torah that we can tap into that's called Maven Dova Mitoich Dova. Maven Midaitoi means that this chelik of Torah is learned from within the Chachma itself. It's not darshan from outside, but it's from within itself. There's that's why it's called Chachma Sapnim. That's why it's called Pnimius of Torah. In other words, I always need to understand this as being the toichen of the other Torah. If somebody adds it on, and the feeling is that what the person taught was smacked on, was slapped on, then it's not this chelik of Torah. Then it could be emes, but it belongs to drasha. Soid is something which the chelik of pnim is that which was laying within the other one, and when I understand that, I understand that the outside was a shell that was carrying the inside, and it be'etzim can carry an infinite amount. The chiddush of it is that that's where there's no gvul to what you can carry. The Baal Tanya says someplace, I remember it's Hilchos Talmud Torah, some part of the Tanya, one or two places, it says that when we speak about the Ein Sof of Torah, I think it's in Tanya, when we speak about the Ein Sof of Torah, we're not referring to the chelik that's nigla, for many reasons. Let's just explain. The chelik, Torah Shebiktav, is from Bracious till Ekal Yisrael, till the end of Ksuvim. That's the entire period. It's finite. It has letters. It has X amount of letters and certain letters. And Ramban says you can get an almost infinite amount of meanings, but the word infinite can't apply to either, because the letters are finite. The combinations I can make out of it can be staggering, but not infinite. There are no pieces that are finite that I can arrange in an infinite amount of ways. I can arrange it in a mind-boggling array, but not infinite. In terms of Torah, in as much as Torah applies to the world around us, it's valkorcha finite, because the world has a finite amount of material, and therefore the halachas that apply are finite. They can be an extraordinary amount, they can be overwhelming, but the word infinite mechatesa, there are a finite amount of people in the world, there are a finite amount of grains of sand that can be rearranged. It makes for mind-boggling combinations, but that's still finite. I was once reading one of these, things on numbers, and the person posed the question, what's the smallest number and what's the largest number? So, so obviously, if you're talking about in terms of what you can invent, there doesn't seem to be any end to it. You can invent whatever you want and give it. You can always call it, x over 2, and you have a number that's half of the other number. And you can do 2x, and you have twice the number. There's no end either way. But the person gave it some meaning. He said, the biggest number that is meaningful in the universe, and the smallest number that's meaningful. So the biggest number that's meaningful, the person sort of postulated, but sort of put down, take the smallest particle in the world, and how many of those there are, that would be the biggest number that means anything, that can correlate to something in this world. We have X amount of planets, we have, X times whatever it is amount of sands in a planet, and X times something, molecules, but at the end of the day, the amount of particles there are, the smallest particle would be the smallest number in terms of size, and the largest number would be the amount of those around the world. Any other number than that is a number, but it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't relate to anything. And that was a great person to put it down. So Lahavdil and Torah, it's the same thing. The amount of dinim and variations of dinim that are shaykh, the amount of variations of people and items in the world. How many astrogim are puzzle? Well, there is just a finite amount of black spots an Esther can have. They may be infinitesimally small, but there's a finite amount that they can possess, and the halacha will apply. Just logical. In as much as the halacha relates to the outside shell, it's finite. In as much as the halacha relates to the pnim, to where it's coming from, that's infinite. In not halacha, as much as Torah is Shmoisel Shakarish Baruch, and as much as Torah is relating to the Shirish, the Be'etzim is an infinite amount. But the only way, there's no such thing for us, what does it mean we have an infinite amount of a Torah that's infinite? It's the mashal, like just when you have a formula, you have kind of an infinite amount of possibilities that you can deal with it. When I have a Torah that has in itself the ability of being of darshening something mitoichdava, then you chachamu mevin midaitek. If you can use the process dava mitoichdava, then you have an infinite amount. So lemashal, let's take something that Chazal, they speak about a mayor, a wellspring, that halachically the halach definition of a well is something that keeps going forever. It never stops. So it's infinite in the sense that it can keep giving water. It's not infinite in the sense that it takes over the entire world. But from that Pesach, there's just, I can keep drawing water. Chazal, there's a mashal called Ezra Avucha Dadecha, that the mother keeps giving, nursing the child constantly. We have examples, things that are of that nature, where there's an opening, and through that opening, a seemingly endless amount of things can come through. So there's a chelik in Torah itself. You have an imitation of that which is in the it's the sharpest demonstration of that mahalach in the world. You have a mahalach in the world that is a finite world from within which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infiniteness was supposed to be mezgala. In Torah, you have a Torah that corresponds to this world, which by Balkach is finite, but within it lies the ability to draw an infinite amount of understandings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the process, even though it's something that for us is not something we can comprehend. That's the puzzle of Shem Melech. You know, Hein Shemayim Shemay Lech Al Kalucha. If you're infinite and you can't fit into anything, how do you fit into a sefer that starts with gracious and has any control? Yes, but that's what it is. But that's that chelik of Torah. So you have Teichen Pnim in Torah. There's a lashon the in Raya Mehem, the one chalak of the Zohar. He speaks about the Yonim of Rosh Hashanah, and he says, if you ask me, how do I know this? So he says, one thing he says, it was given over for Chachamim Midor L'Dor. And secondly, he says, if you look into what's in the world that's Mizgala, you'll understand what's Nista. In other words, from the world around, we, you know, the Malchusa, the Ara, the Malchusa the Rikia, despite the fact that the Malchusa, the Ara is finite, but from it you can keep learning and understanding about the Malchus of the Rikia. That's the extraordinary paradox that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into this world. I want to apply it to this midah of Hay that we're talking about, and it's a special yoifi. It's a special type of yoifi that has in itself a chelak of yira and so on. Let's describe it. Rav Futner has a maimon on it in Hanukkah that he speaks about it klape his inyanim. I want to apply it to our inyanim. Let's take the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was kikaron arpanov, and they're called karnei hoid. V'nasata me hoidcha olav. Moshe Rabbeinu had hoid, and that hoid he was able to bestow on Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he bestowed on the Nevi'im Vatsalta Ruchacha, Vatsalta Mehoitcha, the it says like a mashal, like a ner, that you can light up many neirs from it, and its light doesn't get diminished. In other words, another example to us where something has a certain, a ner is finite. It has its R, and you know, it's limited, it's got the Shema, it's got the R, and yet you seemingly can light an endless amount of neiris from it. The same thing, this is an example of a hoid. A hoid means like this, and this is where Futter describes it. When you have something laying within something else, you have three ratios of the container to that which is contained. One is that the container hides whatever is in it, and it's hidden. A second example is it displays its content. And that's yoifi. Yoifi is when something displays its content. So you have a glass, and there's wine inside it, and the glass transfers the wine, the color, and the sparkle, and whatever it is, outwards. You sometimes have things where the outside is straining under the weight. We see a bulging bag. You see a sagging valise. You see things like that. Then the pshat is the chutz is demonstrating, in a certain sense, that what's inside it is greater, stronger, bigger than what's holding it. There's a certain demonstration of the pnim that can overwhelm the chutz. He calls it haidah, so to speak, a relation to be moida, that it's as if the outside is giving in to the inside, so to speak. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about yonam haidah and so on. I want to talk about our inyan. A person's body is supposed to cover. It's a kli for the neshama. So some bodies are so thick, and the neshama is so lacking in the ability to display themselves that one betzim sees no sign of a neshama. Sees a nice, well-developed goof and very, very little of a neshama that you can detect in it. That's one ratio. A second ratio is you see that tzel malakim. You see the person carries himself with the ruchnius that's inside him. And you see that the person is a kli for a neshama and so on. But betzim, the neshama is much bigger than the person. The neshama is ain seif. The person is seif. Sometimes, when the neshama is so developed, the neshama overwhelms the guf, and the karni hoid are the ability for the person's teichen to overwhelm the chutz. The sense of the infinite in the person is kind of when you meet a big person and you find it overwhelming. What's overwhelming? So, the umas olam, a nice, well-developed guf, preferably with little sense of neshama, is a very, very that's the shleimus adam. We like to see what we call an edelkeit, a chein, whatever it is. All of those in yanim that demonstrate that there's a neshama function within the guf, walking hand in hand. But sometimes you see a person that you feel his guf staggers under the weight of the ruchnius. The sense of the teichin, like the urin, is not going to mean that there's more inside than outside. And that's what the kind of hoid are. The ha'ara pnim overwhelms the guf, and the person is and the person projects that. That is a certain type of yoifi, but it's a frightening one. It's very scary for us because this is the chelek of the bria that's supposed to be nister, and it's as nigla as we'll get it because it overwhelms the person that's carrying it. That's the yichud of hoid. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu had hoid. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klai Yisrael couldn't look at it, was because since they went down in Madrega, the ruchnis that he was carrying within him was overwhelming. It wasn't hidden by his guf. Moshe was Isha Lekim, and therefore it shone out and overwhelmed them. Reb Shimon Yochai is the mile of Hoyt Vadarecha. That's what we saw, Hoyt Vadarecha. That's Reb Shimon Yochai's Yichud is that the Chelek of Torah, that's the Teichen, that's the bleak wool inside, is sort of overwhelming the outside. And it says Melech HaMashiach also, that the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasid Lovo is going to be an understanding of how in the span of Zman, of X amount of years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had those Mahalchim of Gula and Gilui waiting to come out. So that's the meat of Hoyt. I just want to sort of recap the Buddhism we spoke about. The yichud of this chelek of Torah is not only in its, not just the teichen sheboy, that it's another sefer, another sforum to learn. It's much deeper than that. You find Lamashal, the Lashon L'Shenis of the Zohar HaKadosh, and Arizal is always, when they darshan a pasuk, in their way of darshing a pasuk, They call it, you know, Beroza De. The side of this pasuk, the side of the other pasuk, the side of this pasuk. In other words, it's a ha'ara that was laying within it. And this is a chelik of those in Yanim that come out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the overarching tachlis was that within a finite and bounded world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give it a content that is greater. The infinite can be placed within the finite. It can't be placed within the finite overtly, because that would be a tachlis of sasur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a finite world, so he can't make an infinite world. So the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was finite, and yet a finite world can hold within it the infinite. It's true l'mashal. I want to sort of play it out in different areas. The world has a finite amount of resources. And l'chura, in physical, I'm talking about very physical, it should be finite. And yet, the world keeps recycling itself in a way that somehow, theoretically, it could go on forever. If the world reaches a certain equilibrium, you would keep able to keep it going forever. How does a finite amount of things go forever? A person's body, technically, should have been infinite, in the sense that we have a mechanism that keeps rejuvenating cells, regrowing cells, and we always keep replacing ourselves. So why can't that go on forever, unless there's like an outside injury? So there are explanations, but Hagufa, in other words, I mean, it's something that's a riddle, and we're looking desperately to understand why is it that at some, if everything gets renewed, then, you know, if it replaces itself within a year, a few times, then when do we get old? So yes, there's occasional, let's say there's an occasional person, you know, something went wrong. But everybody gets old and everybody winds down. Like, where does that happen? It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Pella, that's on the physical level how he locked it in. In terms of, certainly this applies in terms of Teichon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hein Shemayim V'Shemei Shemayim Lo Yechal Kelucha, HaKadosh Baruch created a world that he is infinite, the world is finite. And yet, in terms of Das Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it within a finite, limited space. And in Amal Amma, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infiniteness is there. In Torah, the same thing happened. In Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that's finite, mitzad etz chitzonis, from Bereishis, that they call Yisrael, very clear words. Mitzad the halachis, there's a finite amount of halachis in Torah Shel Bal Pe, from Sinai. There's a finite amount of halachis that the Bez Nagdol ruled on. There is the big sweep, theoretically, a finite amount of halachis possible, because the halachis have to be shaykh to people that live, to objects that exist. All the halachas are tagged onto the world. So we're in Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inject this limitlessness. The answer is, there's a chelik of Torah where the halachas are Horem Atluim B'Sairis and Perichem B'Avir, and there's a chelik of Torah that is Shayach to Mevin Midaitoi. And the chelik of Torah that is Shayach to Mevin Midaitoi, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed that Ein Sof of it. And it's not just a pshat, another chelik of Torah. In a certain sense, it's a gilui of the tachlis. The tachlis of Torah was that Torah is a kli from within which to understand the bleak vul of the mitzvah of the noisna Torah. Reb Shimon Yochai's Torah, the one that he was most instrumental in bringing to the world, had shaykhs to this. And even though we may not have shaykhs at chelik of Torah, directly, but the Ramban, the Goyen, the Baal Shem Tev, they all were yoinik and made it to some degree understandable, palatable, useful. At least, even if all we can is see the Kanei Hoyt, Klal Yisrael seeing the Kanei Hoyt at least had the understanding of the right surah. Ruchnius is not an adjunct to Gashmius. it's not the pshat if you have a guf, you have Torah, and Torah is limited to the guf. By seeing Moshe Rabbeinu's Koren or Panav, they were able to see the beyond. There's a Balaturim. It says on the Pasuk by Yeshua, V'nasata mehoidcha olav. So he says, mehoidcha is a soid, it's ma'isim rekava, ma'isim gracious. In other words, the hoid of Torah is the chelik of Torah that's overwhelming. The chelik of Torah that's the ein soif ifnim. When Klal Yisrael saw the Koren or Panav, it gave them at least the understanding of the right surah of Torah. Adam, because we're Isaac in the chelik of Torah that we're meant to digest, that we're meant to take it for what it is, that we're meant to be done minei uvei, there's always a sakana that a person limits Torah. I mean, to his seichel is certainly bad, but he just understands it as limited to X, Y, and to Z. Having at least a gilui that there's another, that within the Torah, within the Torah we have, there lies an infinite amount of Torah, and we deherit in those rare moments when we hear something that we say, "Wow, this is, you know." Whoever said it must have Ruach HaKodesh. This is impossible to see otherwise. When we get a certain sense and the hair of Kedusha that lies within that Chelik of Torah and the people that learn it, when we get a sense of the Hoid that's on those people who have the Te'ima of that Chelik of Torah, that Kedusha, it gives us the right understanding. We understand Matan Torah when we see Moshe Rabbeinu's kind of hoid that we can't look at. If Moshe Rabbeinu's Nisan Torah is cut to size, to our size, it tempts us to think to cut Torah to size. When you dehere the Kedusha that was brought into the world by Reb Shem Yochai and by the people who are Toyim or Zeicha to be Toyim of that Torah, it gives us the sense of that Torah mitzad its Toychen is believable to tachlis, and it enriches b'meila. Even though we're Isaac in the first Mishnah, in the Gufei Torah, and so on, and the things that are Tluyim B'Sairis, but it gives us the right surah of Torah that Torah mitzad its toichin is believable, that mitzad the meiv davar toich davar it's endless. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we're only toifes from the outside, but within what we have, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may not see where, in our Torah, where that breaks through, but by seeing that it exists, we understand that the Torah that we're koina, within it, we have it, and someday we'll be zeicha to see the Dava mitoich Dava. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up our minds, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open our eyes within the Torah that we were zeicha to be koina with the Yigia on the Dvarim that are shat in the first Mishnah, within the Torah we're going to have the Torah of the second Mishnah. Yeah.
So when I look at Adam Gunn,
yeah,
and I am inspired or I see something, right?
Yeah.
That's Yofi. I don't say, you see something.
Yofi is a full development of the body. Chayit is where you say there's much more to the person than meets the eye. That there's just, there's so much more, there's so much teichen in the person. That's the sense of chayit. That's the awe that you have of a person. So it's a whole different picture. It's yoif in the sense that it conveys a picture, but the picture conveys is it's staggering what's in the person. There's a fascinating mind, just to demonstrate. I read this first hand account of Zsolti, was the Rav Yerushalayim, tremendous Talmid Chacham.
When?
He must have passed away 25 years ago, so something like that. He became Rav in the 70s at some point. because it's very tamchachem. Chaver neyeshiva bacha. Very, very, very geschmack. He drew people with it. When he would say Torah, he was very able to explain it. Very, very tamchachem. When he got married, he was married to a wealthy man. And a wealthy what? A daughter. Yeah. Yes. But usually it's the same. And he took him to the first Pesach day. It was very hot. His wife wasn't well. He took him to a quote-unquote hotel. A hotel in those days was like one of these things here in Shari Yafo, Malon Zion, Malon this. This was in Machne Yehuda, near Machne Yehuda. I forgot what it was called. Not the Teuche Yerushalayim. Maybe it was Teuche. Later, it was, whatever it was. So he was there. So the owner comes over to him and says, do me a favor. He says, I got stuck with this person. I don't know what to do with him. He's some sort of Bukharan type of person. And older man, a sick man, he came as a refugee from the war. He, you know, the Sochnut or whoever was bringing people over dumped him here. The money's ran out already a month or two ago. And I'm just stuck with him for free. I don't have what to do. I can't throw him out. And he's a very depressed, broken person. His wife is sick. Maybe you can go and cheer him up. I said, okay, fine, not a problem. So he knocks on the person's door, and older person opens the door. And very depressing. It's one room. His wife is a sick woman laying in bed. He's wearing this assortment of stuff, like a big pair of white pants, a cap, a plaid shirt, you know, like the stuff that, but he's not a Bukharim, he's East European. No, he says, Shalom Lechem, you need a Fet on Pesach. He tells him, I'll tell you a vart, a covered Pesach. He tells him a vart. So the person tells him, in the Safra, it's not much like that, even though the way it's quoted here, is that, so like he looks twice. And then, okay, so he, I don't know, maybe Mikradov, he goes on and back and forth and back and forth. And this is going on for an hour or two, and this person is like, he what is it? He asked him, tell me, what's your name? Who are you? Where are you? What are you? Like, he said, like it says by Yirmiyah that he saw, you know, are you a person? Are you a devil? What? So he tells him, his name is Wiedenfeld, and he says, where are you from? He says, he used to be in a town called Chabin, and what were you? There's Rav there. There's a Chabin Rav. And he didn't want to. So he never heard of a Chabin Rav because he was from Litvish and Shlaim. He never heard of Chabin, especially that. But he said this person was overwhelming. So he sent somebody to the Ger Rebbe to tell him Chabin Rav's here. And the next morning, the Ger Rebbe came with a change of clothing for the Chabin Rav. And, you know, shortly after that, they got him an apartment and so on. But the sense where there's some poor Neb sleeping in a room, and you talk to the person, and you say to yourself, this is just unbelievable. Like whoa, like I've never seen anything like it. That's a sense of hoyt, where the person's metzias is overwhelming. The person's teichin overwhelms the little frail man, and it's called terikula, and backwards and forwards. You know, that was the sense. Hoyt is a sense where the person's, and that's why it's where the Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam is so strong that the body fails in hiding it. The body's meant to cover it. The body's meant to exhibit it in a very limited way, and when it overwhelms the person, that's that type of okay. Yeah.
Is that an example of a contrast of expectations, though? You expect to see Melech, and it turned out to be a guttling.
Sure, but that's true. But I'm saying when you expect a person's goof, a person has a goof and he has limitations, and when a person is bigger than what a body, what you would expect a body to support, that's where you get a sense of its struggle, it's straining under the weight of its neshama. It's like the person's bearing, the person's attitude, the person's knowledge, you know, different things, and sometimes it shines through just in the bearing of the person, just in the ha'aras panim of the person. Yes?
You mentioned that the process we started was that the tachlis of the world was to finite.
How does that add to Kochumai? It's the ultimate, it's sort of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can express himself even, quote unquote, in the impossible, in the paradoxical. It's one thing when I, you know, display a lot of things, and then I take it and put it in a little kit. In other words, that's a double chiddush. I can, but let's say I display a lot of my possessions or wares or whatever it is, and you say, wow, that's very nice. And then I say, yeah, and it all fits in this little shape case. And it is, it's there. You know, that's a double, you know, it used to actually be, I once heard a pshat from a Rebbe of mine, what the word kafui toiv means. It doesn't mean, the word kafui doesn't mean you're denying. It's not like kofur. He gave a mashal. He said, he used to remember the World War I. It was going back some time. They had medics. The amount of medical material they had was kind of limited. Bandages was the big was what they had basically. So he said they would have this little box, and the bandaging materials folded so well, and with so much chachma that from a little box you could unravel enough bandage to do an entire body or a few bodies. So the word kafui means to be bent over, to be sort of like kfiyas amita. It's when something is pressed together, compressed. So he says, nobody, you really have to be not there to deny he didn't help me. And then he said, yeah, he helped me in my business a lot. Well, he helped you a lot in business. He spent weeks. He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. He had so much agmas nefesh. Put in one sentence, and I want to thank him for all the help he did in getting my business started. Yeah, that's one sentence, but unfold it a little bit. In other words, you know, why don't you spread it out a little bit? That's the, you know, so. Okay, good.
Kein Mispar, I find it to by Yitzchak, he says, Mabash is Var.
By what?
Kein Mispar. Yeah. He brings out a key, he's quoting Geiger.
Yeah, he brings him up.
He was quoting Geiger. They said, oh, like, so.